moment, you'll hear James Stewart as the Six Shooter, just one of the many great stars brought to you on Sundays on NBC. Every Sunday, hear Hume Cronin and Jessica Tandy in The Marriage, Sir Laurence Olivier on Theatre Royal, Lawrence Tibbett with the Golden Voices, Helen Hayes, Frederick March, Rex Harrison, and Lily Palmer on the NBC Star Playhouse. All of them heard only on NBC. James Stewart as the Six Shooter. The man in the saddle is angular and long-legged. His skin is sun-dyed brown. The gun in his holster is gray steel and rainbow mother of pearl, its handle unmarked. People call them both the Six Shooter. Coleman, America's leader in modern automatic home heating equipment, and the National Broadcasting Company present James Stewart as the Six Shooter, a transcribed series of dramas based on the life of Britt Ponsett, the Texas plainsman who wandered through the western territories, leaving behind a trail of still-remembered legends. Now, in just a moment, immediately following this important announcement, you'll hear Act One of The Six Shooter. The Red Cross trains millions of Americans each year in first aid, water safety, home nursing, and as volunteer nurses' aides. Volunteer nurses' aides assist professional nurses in hospitals and clinics. This help requires skill. It is through the Red Cross that you and your neighbor can get that skill, can get that training. Through the Red Cross, you can answer the call of your family and your community. Help make this training possible. Give through the American Red Cross Fund. Now, Act One of The Six Shooter, starring James Stewart.
To Virtue City was over the crest of Bear Neck Mountain and then down the northern slope. That's why you couldn't see the town until you were almost there, not in the clouds. There always seemed to be a stack of thick marshmallow clouds along the side of Bear Neck, and by the time you got through them, the town was right in front of you. Anyway, it was about 2 o'clock in the afternoon when I hit the city limits, and at least what had been the city limits 10, 15 years ago. Of course, nowadays, houses on the outskirts weren't much more than just loose timber and broken windows. When I reached the main street, things looked more normal. Not like a real town, of course, but, well, the mercantile was open and the bank and the post office. 10 or 12 stores, maybe, all still doing business. I spotted what I was looking for. Oh, boy. Oh. The sign on the Opera House said Rocky Mountain Western Railroad, Virtue City Office. Well, I guess they might as well use the Opera House for something. Jenny Lynn sure won't be singing there anymore. Not like she did for the grand opening. Howdy.
Afternoon. Excuse me.
Oh, sure.
Mind handing me that box?
Hmm?
That one there on the desk.
Oh, this one, yeah.
Yeah, I want to put these papers in it. Yeah, thanks.
You're cleaning out the office,
That's
huh?
That's right.
I see. Yes. Moving to another place.
Yeah.
Well, I guess there's plenty of vacancies in Virtue City, isn't there?
Yeah, there'll soon be one more.
Oh, wait a minute, what... You leaving town?
Sure am, mister. 3 weeks, that's what I wasted here, 3 weeks. Well, I'm not wasting any more time. Tomorrow night, that's the deadline, then I take the stage. Virtue City doesn't deserve a railroad, and they're not getting one.
Hmm?
Well, what's on your mind?
Under the circumstances, I'm not exactly sure.
That's no surprise. Nobody's sure of anything around here.
No, what I mean is I was figuring on signing up with the railroad. I've laid track before, and I thought that I heard the new line was going through Virtue City.
You heard wrong, mister.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm sorry to have troubled you.
There's other folks who should be sorry. Gave me their word. Said they'd have the right of way free and clear. Ought to sue them. That's what we ought to do.
Britt Ponsett.
Hmm?
Over here in the courthouse. It's me, Doc Cross.
What? Doc?
Come on in. I say, come on in.
Oh, well, sure. Doc?
Second office, Britt, on your right.
Oh, Say, I didn't know you were still living on a... Well, what in the thunder are you doing on a wheelchair, Doc?
Oh, I fell off my horse a couple of months ago. It was his fault, not mine.
Oh, his fault. Oh, sure, yes. Did you break anything?
Well, I ain't positive. Had to send for Doc Sampson over to Watsonville. He says I broke my leg. Oh, butcher, don't think he'd know a broken leg from a floating kidney. If you ask me, he's keeping me off my feet so he'll get a crack at all my patients.
Oh, well, Doc could do you good. Get a little rest.
Maybe. Hey, sit down, Britt. Sit down.
Thanks. Well, I was kind of surprised to see the courthouse still open. I thought they'd moved county seat over to Fort Gray.
Politicians. Yeah, those people in Fort Gray bribed the legislature. That's what they did. But we'll get the county seat back again. Just you wait and see. Meantime, we're using the courthouse for a city hall. I guess we got just about the fanciest city hall west of Denver.
Yeah,
I
wouldn't be surprised.
I'm the mayor now, Britt.
Oh,
yes,
wow.
Good for you. What about you? What brought you to Virtue City after all this time? I hope you ain't just passing through.
No, I'm afraid so, Doc. I was aiming to sign up at the railroad, but since they ain't coming this way...
Not coming this way, but who told you that?
Well, that fellow over at the opera house.
Oh, that's Nelson, Thad Nelson. Don't pay no attention to him.
Well, he works for the railroad, doesn't he?
Well, yes, he does. But he ain't never wanted the line to go through Virtue City anyhow. He'd rather it went the way of Watsonville. If you ask me, Watsonville is paying him off.
Oh?
That's the reason he's been looking for an excuse to get out of our contract. He figures this trouble with Annie will let him off the hook.
Annie?
Silver Annie. You remember her, Britt. Annie Huxley.
Annie Huxley. Oh, sure. Well, I thought she'd moved away.
No such luck. She's still setting on the old Huxley mine like a hen hatching eggs. Only thing is, there ain't no eggs in that mine. Not anymore.
Well, what's she got to do with the railroad, though?
Well, Britt, the route's been surveyed to go through her property. Town agreed to secure all the right-of-ways the railroad needs. We're willing to pay for him and a good price.
But Annie's not satisfied with what you're offering.
We don't know. She won't talk to us. Won't even let anybody near her shack.
Oh.
She just sits there day and night, right by the window with her shotgun poking out. Anybody comes on her land, she lets go. Got some fool notion there's still silver in that mine, and folks are trying to get it away from her. Well, I'm crazy. That's what she is, if you ask me.
Oh, I wouldn't say that, Doc. Maybe Annie's living the past a little bit. She's got quite a past to live in, too, you know. Gee whiz, I remember about her wedding to Sin Huxley. About how he put down a street of silver dollars all around the church. You remember that?
Yes, well, that's beside the point. I sent for Clyde Huxley.
Clyde?
Yeah, he's a relative of Sin's, a distant cousin or something like that, but a relative. We had to pay his fare all the way out from Chicago.
Mm-hmm. He's seeing Annie yet?
That's where he is right now, and he'll straighten her out. You see, he's a lawyer, and he's not the kind to put up with any nonsense. So, well, Mr. Huxley, I didn't see you ride up, and I've been watching the street.
I didn't ride. I walked.
Now, don't tell me that horse of mine threw you, too.
Me. Where will I find the chief of police?
What?
I'm charging that woman with attempted murder.
Oh, you don't mean Annie.
I certainly do mean Annie. She ought to be locked up. And if I have anything to do with it, she will be.
She wouldn't sign over the right of way. Not even for you, her own kin.
I didn't get a chance to discuss it. She shot at me, point blank.
Don't look like she hit you.
It was a miracle she didn't.
Well, I guess she just didn't know who you were, Mr. Huxley. She didn't recognize you.
I told her who I was. Right after that, she fired.
Yeah, some folks just don't cotton to relatives, seems like.
Well, she tried to kill me.
Oh, no, she was just defending her property, Mr. Huxley. If she'd wanted to kill you, you wouldn't be walking around now. Annie knows how to handle a gun.
Well, now, we got to do something, Britt. If we don't have that right away by tomorrow, Nelson, he's the railroad man, Nelson will leave town. The railroad will go through Watsonville, and that'll just about wash up Virtue City once and for all.
Well, now, there must be some way of explaining things to Annie, Doc. I'd throw her in jail. I'd just have to make her more cussed than ever, you know.
But, say, maybe there is another way. Sure. Somebody she trusted, somebody who didn't have no axe to grind. She'd listen to him.
Now, Doc.
You got those papers all ready for her to sign, Mr. Huxley?
Doc.
Well, then give them to Britt.
Doc, now this ain't my affair, Doc. Now, I don't want to get mixed up with this.
Oh, I know you, Britt.
No,
you wouldn't let us down, not at a time like this. Go on, Huxley, give him the papers.
Now, wait a minute.
We'll never forget what you're doing, Britt. The whole town will be in your debt. Just get her to sign them. The places are marked with an X.
Doc. Next thing I knew, I was riding up to the Huxley Mine. Annie's shack was next to the main shaft, about 100 yards off the road. I slid down out of the saddle and tried the gate. Holy smokes. Padlock big enough to protect the Denver Mint was chained around the post. Well, I had nothing else to do but climb over the fence. Getting on toward dusk. Now, I didn't know whether to sneak up on Annie unawares or just walk up to the front door in plain sight and take my chances. While I was making up my mind, I was flattened down behind a pile of wooden boxes. Well, at least one thing was certain. I wasn't going to sneak up on her unawares.
Go on! Beat it! Next time I won't miss.
I'll put that thing down, Annie, or I'll shoot it out of your hands.
Well, who's on fire? Who is that?
Britt Ponsett.
Britt?
That's right.
I'm on a node. None of the flea-bitten skunks from around here would have nerve enough to talk to me that way.
All right, I'm coming in, Annie.
I guess there's no stopping you. Not that I believe you'd ever try to shoot this gun out of my hand, Britt, no matter what you say.
Well, that makes us even, man. I don't believe you would aim it at me, either. How are things, Annie?
Well, not too bad. Not too bad. To close that door, will
you? Sure.
Back to the matter is, Britt, I've been working the southern shaft lately. Found a vein that looks real promising. One of these days, the Huxley will be going full force again.
Mm-hmm. Now, Annie, now, you don't really believe that.
Well, of course I believe it. Why shouldn't I? We took $250,000 out of this mine, Sin and me, and there's plenty more. It's just a question of finding it. Here, you want some coffee?
Yeah, thanks. Now, these hills have been worked dry, Annie. There's no silver in them, not anymore. And that's why I came up to talk to you.
Here. Drink your coffee.
Thanks.
It's about the right-of-way for the railroad. You're just wasting your breath.
No, but Doc Cross said you didn't know anything about the railroad, that nobody had been able to explain it to you.
Oh, nobody had to explain it. There's nothing goes on in Virtue City that I don't get wind of. I ain't lived here 35 years for nothing.
Well, Doc says the town needs the railroad, needs it bad.
Why, I got no objection to a railroad into Virtue City. Probably need it myself to haul the ore out when I strike a rich vein. But the line don't have to go through my property.
Mm-hmm. In a mountain country like this, railroads don't have much choice. I asked Doc Cross. The only other route would cost a whole lot more money, more than the Rocky Mountain Western's willing to pay.
Well, that ain't my problem. All I care about is the Huxley. And they not laying any tracks across it.
All right, Annie. All right. That's the way you feel. Thanks for the coffee. Oh, I guess maybe I ought to warn you. Your cousin's talking about putting you in jail.
He ain't my cousin. He's Sin, and Sin never had no use for him neither.
Well, whoever he is, he's...
And as for putting me in jail, he'll have to find somebody to come out here and arrest me first. From what I've seen of him this afternoon, there ain't much...
There she is.
Hey!
Give me that gun, Annie.
What?
Don't make no trouble.
Well, what's going on here, Huxley?
I told you I was going to swear out a warrant for her arrest. Thanks to you, the sheriff was able to serve it.
Rick Ponsett!
Oh, wait a minute. Annie.
Of all the low-down mean...
Annie?
Keeping me occupied so sneak in here.
No,
why?
No,
I
come on, Annie, let's go.
Listen, Annie, I can swear
I've
to you
I've done
that.
Enough listening to you already.
Annie?
Take your hands off me, Sheriff. I ain't one of the girls from Crawford's saloon. I'm Silver Annie Huxley. And when I go to jail, I go under my own power.
We'll return to James Stewart as the six-shooter in a moment. First, a word from Coleman, America's leader in modern automatic home heating equipment.
When winter comes, does your house shrink like this?
Well, I guess it's time to close off the two back rooms. There's just no way to heat them.
Don't deprive yourself of valuable living space. Get a Coleman floor furnace or wall heater and enjoy new warmth and comfort in the hardest-to-heat rooms.
A Coleman floor furnace, a wall heater, takes up a minimum of space, yet it gives you constant circulation of fresh, warm air, just as a big basement furnace does. You'll be snug and comfortable all winter long.
And if you're interested in economy as well as comfort, listen to this. Coleman floor furnaces and wall heaters are low in price, low in operating cost, because Coleman gives you maximum heat from the fuel you use, either gas or LP gas.
See your Coleman dealer tomorrow. You'll find his name and address in your telephone directory. Remember, comfort costs so little with a Coleman.